Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible.
And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with Jesus Heals the Sick, as we pick up in Mark chapter 5, verse 21. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
When Jesus was passed over again by ship to the other side, many people gathered unto him, and he was near the sea. And behold, there came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and he besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and many people followed him and thronged him. So coming now back to Capernaum, Jairus, one of the rulers of the synagogue there in Capernaum, came to Jesus, driven by desperation, because at home, notice, he besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. Probably the easiest way to get to the heart of a man is through his children. To see our children sick, to see them suffering, moves us more than almost anything else. And to see his little daughter dying, we are told that she was about 12 years old. We are also told in another gospel that she was their only little girl. And so for 12 years, she had brought sunshine, life, and blessing into the home, as only little girls can do. But now the father's heart is breaking. It's obvious that his little girl is dying. Nothing can be done. They have only one hope. He had probably been in the controversy the other day, that Sabbath day when Jesus was there in the synagogue and healed the man with the withered hand. And though he argued over the violation of the Sabbath, he was in need. He was desperate, driven to come against prejudice to Jesus, torn between wanting to be by his little daughter's side, but knowing that she had to have help quick. He left the mother with a little daughter, and he himself set out to find Jesus. And when he did, he found Jesus surrounded by a crowd who were thronging him. But his desperation pushed him through the crowd until he was standing face to face with Jesus, and he begged him, Please come. My little daughter's at the point of death. Just lay your hand on her and she will be healed. He knew that Jesus could bring healing even to this condition of the point of death. And Jesus went with him. And many people were following and thronged him, the pushing, shoving, rude crowd. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians. They probably all of them had their own cure, and she tried them all. And she spent all that she had and was not any better, but rather was growing worse. When she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched. The word touched in Greek is grasped or clasped onto his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. She had set a point of releasing her faith. The moment I touch, I know I will be healed. Someone wanted to know what the difference between this and positive confession was. Positive confession would be if she continued to hemorrhage to say, I'm healed. That's Christian Science also. I'm not sick, I'm healed. When in fact, you are still hemorrhaging and you have your sicknesses. She said, I know I will be healed the moment I touch. And she was healed. That was just releasing faith and setting a point to release faith. Now, Had she gone on hemorrhaging and saying, I feel great, I'm healed, I'm not hemorrhaging, that would be positive confession. That would not be the truth, though. So there is a definite difference between the two. 12 years. According to Jewish law, her husband could not touch her as long as she was hemorrhaging. According to Jewish law, everything she touched was unclean. Whoever touched her would be unclean. Whoever would touch anything she touched would be unclean. Therefore, she could not continue to live with her family, to prepare them food and all, to do their clothes. Finally, according to Jewish law, she could not enter the place of worship as long as she was hemorrhaging. She was ceremonially unclean. And for 12 years, she had lived in this shadow of darkness. With Jairus, 12 years he had lived in the sunshine of this beautiful little girl, the light she brought into her home. But the light was going out. With the woman, 12 years, she was living in the shadow of this ostracized condition. But a ray of light was shining, a hope. I know if I can just but touch him, his garment, I will be healed. And immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. She could feel that touch, that healing in that moment. Have you ever had that kind of a healing where you actually just felt, wow? There was one Sunday morning when we were still over in the other little church that I woke up on Sunday morning too sick, too ill to go to church. I got up and I tried to study, but I was feeling so miserable that I could not concentrate. I couldn't get any message together. I was just too miserable. I was just too sick. So I went downstairs and I woke up Chuck and I said, Chuck, you're going to have to go out and preach for me this morning. I'm really too sick. I just can't do it. And he said, okay, Dad. And he jumped up and started studying in a hurry. And he came out and took first service. And of course, they announced that I was at home sick, couldn't make it because I was so sick, which was so true. I was lying in bed just miserable. But they prayed for me that God would heal me. And as I was lying in bed just as sick as could be, I felt the healing. I jumped up. Out of bed. And Kay says, what's wrong with you? And I said, I'm healed. And I went in and got dressed and came on out and took the second and third services. I felt the healing. I felt it happening. It was just suddenly there. Glorious thing. Just felt it. I've had an experience of laying my hand upon a little child who was running a very high fever. And as the elders and I were praying and my hand was on her forehead, I felt the heat go out from her. I felt her forehead just cool off as we were praying. Her mother was a nurse and had just taken her temperature. It was up to about 103. And so I said, I felt the temperature go. She took her temperature again, and it was down normal. Just by the time that I could feel it. I could feel it happening. And this woman could feel it. And she knew it's happened. She could feel it within herself. And those are beautiful experiences when you actually feel God's touch upon your body. You know it. You don't need to, you know, someone to tell you it's happened. You know it's happened. You can feel it. And so immediately, knowing in herself, Or immediately, knowing in herself, she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that this healing had gone out of him, he turned around in the press, the crowd, and he said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said unto him, "Lord, you can see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?' You got to be kidding, Jesus." Trying to make our way through this crowd with all the shuffling and jostling and shoving and pushing, and then you stop and say, "Who touched me?" Come on. And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. Now, she knew what had happened, and he knew what had happened. She probably was very relieved. She's frightened when he said, "Who touched me?" because she knew what happened. And very relieved when she heard the logical argument of the disciples. "Lord, you got to be kidding. Look at the crowd. Everybody's touching, pushing, you know." "No, no, it's different." Oh, the crowds around Jesus, and in all the crowd around him, one woman touched him. You know, you can be close to Jesus without touching him. You can be among the press. You can be among the throngs and still not touch him. Many people thronging him, one person touching him. And there's a vast difference. She touched him. It was the touch of faith. And healing came. But the woman, fearing and trembling and knowing what was done in her body, she came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. I mean, she confessed everything. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." Now, inasmuch as this was a common practice, many were touching him and being healed. We read that in chapter 3, verse 9. And as we continue on in the text, in the next chapter, verse 56, "And whithersoever he entered into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment, and as many as touched him were made whole." This is the only one where Jesus stopped to say, "Who touched me?" that is recorded. Now, it was happening all the time. Why would he stop at this particular time and say, "Who touched me?" when this was a common occurrence? And when Jairus was so desperate, his daughter was so close to death, the reason why Jesus stopped is he knew that the daughter had died already. And he knew that soon those messengers were going to be there telling Jairus, "Your daughter is dead." And Jesus had compassion on Jairus because of the grief and all that he was going to receive when he heard news that his daughter was dead. And he was seeking really to give to Jairus a ray of hope even in the midst of the bad news. So while Jesus was saying to the woman, "Be thou whole of your plague," and Jairus was seeing the power of Christ manifested just by someone touching him and being healed of a condition that existed for 12 years. That same amount of time that he enjoyed the beauty and the glow of his little daughter. As Jairus turned from those who brought the message to Jesus, probably say, "Lord, it's too late, never mind." Jesus just said to him, "Don't be afraid. Only believe." He had given him a basis for his belief. He had given him courage in the darkest hour. Surely as Jairus turned, it must be that the blood had drained out of his face, and he was probably an ashen white and just had that sad, desperate, oh, God, it's too late, and just that, my daughter's gone. And just that grief, hopelessness. He had been hoping that Jesus might get there just to touch her. I know that if he'll lay his hand on her, she'll be healed. Now it's too late. My little girl is gone. But Jesus just said to him, don't be afraid, only believe. And at this point, Jesus stopped the crowd. He said, that's it, don't go any further. You stay here, I'll be back. And he took Peter and James and John and the father, and they journeyed together, probably in order that they might get there more quickly, because it's awfully slow moving with a huge crowd of people trying to work your way through the crowd. So they stopped them in order that they might come with haste to the house. And as they were coming to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, they saw the tumult and those that wept and wailed greatly. It was a custom in those days to really show your great love for the deceased by wailing loudly for them. And the louder the wails, the more it expressed your grief and love for the one who was deceased. And so they had professional wailers, people who were especially skilled in wailing. And they would hire them to come and to wail on these occasions in order that the whole neighborhood might know the grief that you are feeling in this hour of loss. And so many times when a person was dying, the wailers would assemble so that at the moment of death, they could let out the cries and the wails, which were as an announcement to the neighborhood and all of the tragedy that had befallen the family. And so there was the tumult, great weeping and wailing as they approached the house. And when they were come into the house, Jesus said unto them, what's all the big fuss about, and why are you weeping? The damsel is not dead, she's only sleeping. And their wails turned to laughter of scorn. They laughed him to scorn. And so he put them all out. And he took the father and the mother of the damsel and those that were with him, that is Peter, James, and John, and they entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and he said unto her, Talitha Kumi, that's Aramaic. And because it is Aramaic, it was probably the household language, the language used around the house. Jesus probably generally spoke in Greek, but the household language was Aramaic. And that is why Mark says, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. More literally, the Aramaic Talitha Kumi is, my little lamb, arise. Jesus was speaking to this little girl in extremely endearing terms. Looking at this little form of the 12-year-old daughter of Jairus that was lying there still in death, he said, my little lamb, arise. And immediately the damsel arose and walked, for she was about 12 years old. And they were astonished with great astonishment. And he charged them strictly that no man should know it. And he commanded that something should be given to her to eat. The question arises, why would Jesus bring this little girl back into a world of strife and misery and woe? Surely being with the Father in heaven, would be much better than to be in this world with all of its heartache and all of its pain and all of its suffering. Why would the Lord call her back into this world? Only because of his compassion for the parents' grief. It was for their sake, not her sake, that he did it. It was because of his compassion upon the great grief that they were feeling that he brought the little girl back to life. For her sake, he would have left her in the kingdom, away from the strife and the turmoil and the ache and all of this world. But for their sake, he brought her back.
Return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Mark on our next broadcast as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Mark 5 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of the Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord be with you, bless you, give you a good week. And may you begin to see fruit from the seed that has been sown in your heart. As God begins to take the word and use it just as a life-changing power. May the word of Christ dwell in your hearts richly by faith. And may the Lord touch your life with his touch of life and strength in Jesus' name.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
Sometimes it's difficult to celebrate the holidays like Christmas or New Year's Eve because of a recent death in the family or a sudden tragedy that's happened. And it's in times like this that we want to be used by God to bring encouragement, hope, and most of all, love to our family and friends who are going through a hardship. That's why I'd like to tell you about a book by Chuck Smith called When the Storm Hits. I'm amazed when I read this book that it's able to encourage and strengthen a person and persuade them to look to Jesus and not at their problem. It encourages us to be patient, not to lose hope, and when the storm hits, to get anchored on Jesus, the rock, and don't let go. To order a copy of Chuck Smith's book, When the Storm Hits, please call the Word for Today at 800-272-9673, or you can visit us online to read a preview of the book by visiting thewordfortoday.org.